Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
And now, are you effing kidding me? With JoJo from Jerry's.
Look, there's a lot of noise out there right now, and it's by design. It's meant to distract us, to confuse us, to divert our attention, and dilute the truth. Flip the zone with shit, as Sloppy Steve would say. But here it is. Donald Trump is a one-term, twice-impeached, quadruply indicted rapist, business fraud, Epstein bestie, and porn star Hushy, who incited an attack against our Capitol in an effort to thwart the peaceful transfer of power after an election he lost. He used the presidency to enrich himself, he stole our national security secrets and hid them in his gilded golf club's goddamn bathroom. He believes he can get away with actual murder, opines about sleeping with his daughter, brags about sexual assault, mocks the disabled, disparages our men and women in uniform, and has promised to be a dictator on day one. He's a hateful, vitriolic madman, as sociopathic as he is stupid, and he's really fucking stupid. He's a serial philandering pathological liar. He's a racist, sexist, unapologetic xenophobe who wants the border to be a crisis, is rooting for a stock market crash, and guaranteeing a terrorist attack because he thinks those things would benefit him politically. No matter how many of us, they hurt. He doesn't care. He's a mean-spirited bully who berates, belittles, and browbeats anyone who dares to challenge him or makes him feel small. He thinks he ran against Obama, that there were airports during the revolution, and that you can inject disinfectants to cure COVID. He's a wannabe despot who would hand Ukraine to Russia, Taiwan to China, and Gaza to Netanyahu in a millisecond. He brags about overturning Roe and says women who have abortions should be punished. He has no platforms nor policies. He's running once again on nothing but violence, hate, and fear. They are coming for your home, your job, your daughters and wives, your way of life. And by they, he means anyone who doesn't look like you, love like you, think like you, or talk like you. They are taking your country away, and he wants you mad as hell and armed to the teeth to take it back. He doesn't offer any of us a damn thing. He never has, and he doesn't care. He made a million promises about everything from ending the opioid crisis to saving coal, and he didn't do any of it. None. He made himself richer, ate hamburgers, golfed during a pandemic, and tweeted. All before he sent a mob to kill the Capitol Police and members of Congress, that is. He's a traitor who wants to do away with the Constitution, abandon our allies, and align with our foes. And for him, it's never been and never will be America first. It's always been and will always be Trump first, America last, believe me. And by contrast, we have President Biden, a lifelong public servant who has never been charged with a crime. He's never been indicted for anything, let alone four times. He spent decades fighting for the people of this country as a senator, as vice president, as president. And that is obvious when you look at the things he's accomplished. When faced with the most divided Congress, arguably in our history, he's managed to pass bipartisan legislation on guns, health care for our vets, federal aid, infrastructure, and more. He's the first president to force Big Pharma to negotiate drug prices, and now tens of millions of Americans no longer have to choose between paying rent and getting their medicine. He's created 15 million jobs, he's got us producing more oil than any country on earth, and he's made our economy the strongest COVID recovery story in the world. He's doing all of that while also being empathetic, understanding, compassionate, and kind, while calling out and naming hate and those who seek to divide us. He understands that this little experiment of ours is a work in progress, that we are not done with the work, and that he will not be at the helm forever. He's a bridge to the future of this country. He understands that he's the custodian of our democracy in this moment, and that in order for us to be able to move forward in 2028, we need someone with a history of leadership. He believes in democracy. He believes in the promise of America, not that it's pathetic. And he sure as hell will not allow Donald Trump to come in and take it away from us. He's a fighter. He's fighting for all of us right now. He's standing in the way of the dark forces of fascism, which are at play. And while the angriest, loudest voices want us to focus on the shiny object over there and not on what is right in front of us, the choice before us isn't between a couple of old guys who occasionally misspeak. It is a choice between a public servant or a predator, between striving to perfect this union or throwing it away, between protecting our democracy or burning it down. What we choose in this moment will shape our collective future. What kind of future do we want that to be? One where all women and girls are subjugated and forced to give birth? One where the already marginalized are cast out, imprisoned, or worse? One where we're not allowed to exercise free speech? Where we could be jailed simply for speaking out? What do we, the people, want our futures to look like? Do we want to see people who don't practice the national religion rounded up? Do we want a president who can order the murder of a political rival and get away with it? Do we want to align with the world's most despotic madmen? Do we want to yield to authoritarianism? Or do we want to keep moving towards perfecting this union? That's the choice before us. It's not about a gaffe here or there or a missed word. It's much, much bigger than that. We have to stay focused, and we have to choose. My guest this week is Brooklyn Dad Defiant, a.k.a. Majid Padelan. He's a Democratic strategist and senior advisor to the Really American PAC, and he uses his 1.2 million Twitter followers account to defend democracy from Donald Trump and the MAGA Republican Party. A proud dad of five children, BDD has over 30 years of experience as a graphic designer and art director, but he's also a writer, having penned his critically acclaimed political humor book, The Littlest President. Published in 2020, the book uses hilarious illustrations and the narrative voice of a children's book to poke fun at the origin story of the former disgraced president. He can be found at most social media sites at M-M-P-A-D-E-L-L-A-N, M-M Padelan, and has a political opinion show on YouTube called Storytime with BDD. This is not at all the conversation I expected we would have, but I mean that in the best possible way, because it was incredibly surprising, incredibly heartfelt and real. And honestly, I think it's the kind of conversation we should be having more often in this country right now than less. And I really hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the Are You Effing Kidding Me podcast, my friend, Brooklyn Dad Defiant. What's going on?
What's up?
Thank you for joining me. I was recently on yours, which was so fun. And now you're online.
Thank you for having me. And I just want to say, are you effing kidding me? I may burst into that several times throughout the course.
I mean, it really is a perfect kind of like catch-all. You know, it's like, George Carlin said, of all the swear words and stuff. But like, honestly, I think fuck is the best, and I can't always say fuck on everything. I could say fuck on here. I just don't want to say it all the time.
Oh, okay. I was about to ask you.
No, yeah, we swear on here. We can't try and keep it, be PG-13. I can't have a podcast where I can't swear. Like, you just, like, me.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. But are you effing kidding me? Like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, nothing really catches everything quite like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
One of the things that I say that about all the time, by the way, are some of my trolls and some of the memes and gifs and you name it, that they've created false realities about me, that I'm a crackhead, that this is a crack den or like a heroin den or a meth den or
it's
whatever.
Very nice.
Thank you.
As far as crack dips.
The crack dips cooked on the heart pillow. Yes, we have seasonal flavors of crack and meth, depending on what the holiday is. Right now it's Valentine's, so we can put a heart on. It's what I said, a heart on all your meth packages. But you were talking about before we started recording, because there's another fake account of you that's surfaced, and someone, we're not going to name them, but someone pointed it out to you. How much of that shit do you get in just a given day?
Every day I have at least two people either DMing me or texting me saying, hey, who the F is this? And were you aware of this? And I can't be, because I would have to be aware of, I don't even know how many there are, but it seems like as soon as you knock one down, two more appear, because lots of people have reported these accounts and they've been shut down. But here's the bizarre thing is that they spend a lot of time When I say a lot of time, look, I'm not a former president,
right?
You know, or a politician, or I'm just a guy. I'm a guy with a Twitter account. And these folks are spending, I don't know, countless hours creating memes and like graphics, Photoshop. And it's truly, it's unnerving because, like, you know, why would, what have I done that has upset your apple, the apple cart of your brain so much that you wake up like, I got a new Brooklyn Dad meme. This is crazy. Are you effing kidding me, bro?
Kidding me? You know what I'm going to do? I'm giving him this accent. I don't know why. I'm going to go down to the basement and I'm going to take Brooklyn Dad's face and I'm going to take JoJo from Jersey's face. And I'm going to pick a picture of a person on their couch. And I'm going to make sure that I make them really fat with like an AI thing. And then I'm going to make her feeding him fried chicken. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's going to take me 12 hours of my day. And I could have gone to, who knows, graphic design school and so that I could do this. Because it will change exactly nothing. But I feel much better having done it.
Indeed. And it boggles my mind that they actually follow me on Twitter. Like, I don't follow accounts of people that I don't like. Like, I'm not following Marjorie Taylor Greene or, God forbid, Ted Cruz. Why would I, you know, why would I pollute my brain like that? But these people, they despise us. And also, I'm going to follow you and put you a notification so when you post, I can be first.
I will say, I did used to do that, which is terrible. But in my first, in the early days, the OG days of my Twitter experience, I did do that with Trump. And then at some point, because I was like, it was like, I don't remember, maybe you didn't do it, but a bunch of us, it felt like it was a race. Like you had to get there first and it had to be good. And you had to be sure it was going to be good. And it had to be a zinger. And it was like, I beat Jeff Tiedrich. Yay, I win. And so in the beginning, it was like that. And then all of a sudden, I was like, this is so toxic.
You know, I knew people were doing that. And I refused to follow him. I never did. I'm proud to say. But that's not to say that I wasn't, you know, I just, by luck, I would happen to be browsing Twitter and I would see people replying to him like, oh, okay, he just dropped one maybe 15, 20 minutes ago. I didn't care when he dropped it. I just wanted to make sure. My goal was, like, I totally missed the bus, right? But there were a lot of people who were like showing off their, look, Donald Trump blocked me. And I was like, oh, I want one.
You know? Right.
Like it was a Pokemon. I want that one.
I heard that one did collect them like Pokemon cards.
And I missed the boat on that. And that is one of my greatest regrets of life. Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
I gotta say, and you and I have had this debate too, and we will get into the meat of some of the Trumps about blocking versus muting. We've talked about this before. But this blocking badge of honor is really funny to me because I've done it too, where I've been like, Lauren Boebert, block me, woo! And then I know people do that with me blocking them, and I don't give a shit. I don't care. I just, and we've definitely talked about this because I block because I feel it's actually cathartic for me where I'm like, bing, 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 bing. And you mute. You mute because you like them screaming. You tell me, why do you mute?
Well, so I don't know if you remember. I think we might have both been on John Fugel's. Oh, no. You know what? We were on his show a few times. But there was a time when he was on my show and he was like explaining like the benefits of muting versus blocking. And he convinced me, you know. I didn't care much for giving them the satisfaction of, you know, putting that shit up on their wall.
That blocked me. My life is complete now.
All those memes I made in the basement.
You know, so there was another reason I used to like blocking people's because I kind of wanted to cultivate an atmosphere in my tweets, you know, in my replies where, you know, my followers can feel comfortable to, you know, not be assaulted by the most vile, toxic elements on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But I've also learned that even when you block them, it doesn't necessarily mean that your supporters, your followers can't see them, mm-hmm. you know, or their stuff. Anyway, in this new Twitter 2.0, or I'm not calling it X.
I don't either.
I'm not calling it X.
No. Nope.
Yeah, but in Twitter 2.0.
I still call Band-Aids. I still call it Taylor Ham. I'm not calling it.
Wait, what? Is it not Band-Aids?
I mean, people are like, you know, you could say adhesive bandage, I guess. But what I mean by that is people give me shit because I say Taylor Ham and they're like, that's the brand name. It's Pork Roll. And it's like, yeah, well, you don't say adhesive bandage. I'm the adhesive bandage. But anyway, I digress. Yeah.
I think everybody says Band-Aid. Yeah. Yeah.
But then they can't for Taylor Ham. Nah, come on. Yeah, it both ways.
But yeah, so in the Twitter 2.0, there's a new dynamic where views are valued above likes and retweets and replies. That's the new metric. That engagement metric is valuable. Apparently.
I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, apparently, like, the more people who engage with your tweet, the more highly rated that tweet is, the more impressions it gets, and hence, you know how Musk has monetized these tweets now, so you get ad revenue, you know, from any time a Nazi posts a reply, you know. Ka-ching!
Oh, wow, oh my God. Oh, that's me. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, so I didn't know. Actually, I didn't know that. I don't even know. I mean, for anybody out there who might not know the difference, like for somebody who's like, what is a view versus an engagement? What do they have to do with the tweet? Do they have to reply or can they just click on it? And then what does that mean?
It's a whole thing. And I'm not 100%, you know, caught up to where I should be on this whole thing. But but that much I know. So they are screaming into the abyss, right? You know, hoping that Brooklyn Dad engages with them. And if I engage with one of those trolls, like their impressions go way up. You know, nobody ever replies to them, you know. But if I reply to them, suddenly that's their marquee tweet of the year.
Right.
But most of them are muted. So they're giving me engagement to get nothing in return. So I kind of love that.
That's sort of interesting. I guess I never thought about that, that they don't know. So I block them. They don't engage with my stuff anymore. And then if I mute them, they don't know that I've basically soft blocked them or whatever. And so they keep hating. That's very interesting.
It's hilarious.
Do people do this thing to you where the big accounts on the other side, they tag you in ridiculousness? Like I recently got tagged where somebody wanted to see me fight some big MAGA account female. I don't even know who she is. And it was like, then they get that.
Basically?
Who?
A physically fight?
Yeah, physically. Physically fight. And it was like, they tagged me and they were like, who else wants to see it? And then all these huge MAGA accounts jumped on it. And that one guy who is famous for making women cry, I don't even know what his name is. He's just mean. And he goes to.
Oh, I've seen him.
You know who I'm talking about. Yeah, they tagged him. And he was like, oh, this is a good idea. I'm going to jump on this. And I then randomly saw it. Of course, I didn't engage with it. But I'm like, they want me to physically fight?
It's so weird. It's so weird to me because I would never. that's like, yeah, I despise a lot of the bigger accounts there, but I'm just like, I'm living my life, bro. Yeah. I'm trying to focus on what matters, what's important. And those cats, they don't matter. They're just ridiculous. They're pathetic.
Right. And that's the Zen moment you gotta get to in this whole environment. And you have to know at the end of the day, like, who you are, who knows who you are, who is it real in your life, like what you value. And because forever, again, I told you, forever, they've said her kids were taken away. She's been married 10 times. Her kids are literally not allowed by law to see her. And for a very, very long time, I was like pushing back because it's so upside down that I was like, that's just wrong. And now I'm like, why do I care? Exactly. Because I know who I am. I know my kids are here all the time and that they live here. Like, so, I mean, it's silly, but we have to, that's the thing that keeps us grounded, right?
Oh, yeah. They have accused me of selling my children, selling them, selling them, right? They took
in that. Do you go to ShopRite? Like,
I think Walmart, maybe? It might be a. I don't
know. Right. Well, you go with a cart, kids for sale. I got kids for sale.
I feel like I've mostly, you know, I've mostly developed a callus to like an emotional callus to where that stuff doesn't really bug me so much anymore. Everyone, it's irritating just because, like, come on, guys, get some new material. Like, they love to. I've been very vocal and open about my history of addiction. You know, I have I struggled with addiction to crack. Actually, crack cocaine. And I'm sure they're going to use this clip from this show.
Yeah, of course, because you can't ever recover, right? Right.
Yeah.
You can't ever recover because that is a knock against you forever. Instead of being something that's something you should be proud of, it's an accomplishment. You've triumphed over something that is incredibly difficult to triumph over. And it's incredible that you share that story. But go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's important. It's hugely important to let them.
So I've shared probably the ugliest moments in my life, you know, where, in the grips of addiction, I sold my kids' toys, you know, and yeah, I'm not proud of it, but the point is, right, I am so committed to my recovery that I like to keep those ugliest moments right up front.
Yeah.
Right up front, because my story is part of like, is one of relapse over and over and over. And I have this kind of brain that makes the notion of going back to that seem reasonable. Like, mm-hmm. I've also recently quit smoking cigarettes. Like, at three years ago. It's been
Yeah. That's a hard thing to quit. I know.
I still get cravings for that. And to this day, I was literally saying just the other day, I was driving and I was like, wow, I got this crazy craving for a cigarette. And my brain is telling me, look, it's been 3 years. You can do just one. You can have one. So nobody cares if you had a cigarette. Nobody cares. Just one. You've built credit. You've built health credits for yourself. You know, that's how, like.
Yeah. Convince yourself about it. You're right. There's a cigarette bank. You didn't know that? Yeah.
So people take these admissions that I have made publicly about my addiction. They try to weaponize them against me. And it's like, look, I just celebrated 20 years of sobriety this last year.
Congratulations.
And thank you very much. Thank you.
It's huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So I believe as long as my sharing my story is helping to reach somebody else out there, and I'm guarantee there are people out there who feel hopeless like I did at one point. I had been, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 different rehabs, and I was at the point where I was like, why do we even bother? Why bother? Why even try to stop if I'm just going to relapse again? This is where I was. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was hopeless and there was no hope for me. And I just, you know, I realized that my kids were still young enough where, you know, if I can get through this episode and come out the other side clean and stay clean, that at least I'll salvage some of their childhood, you know. And and that was it. It was 2003. It was the there was a blackout. I don't know if you remember. You might
remember
the blackout, right?
Sure. Yeah, a lot of babies were conceived in that blackout. I didn't have one.
There was no TV. Like something kicked in, there's like the id and the super id or whatever. The grown up in my brain was like, hey, stop it. Let's go. Be dad now. Now be dad. And I was dad, and I was dad for long enough. Like I strung a few 24-hour days together of sobriety, and I was like, I gotta check myself in. And I went into a program in Harlem. It's called Star House. Striver House. And that's how many programs I've been at. Striver House. And I never looked back. I started going to psychotherapy, and that helped. I went just two therapy sessions a week. And just one day at a time, I just kept stringing days together. And, you know.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
So does it irritate me when they throw these things in my face? Sure, it does. But, you know, ultimately, nobody can hurt me worse than I've hurt myself in the past.
Right. And thank you again for sharing that. Addiction hits very close to home for me because it claimed my brother and my mother, actually. My brother was a story which is different from my mother, like you just described, about kind of in and out of rehab and spots of like sobriety where you saw these glimpses of this person that was inside that you lost all those times that he would be missing or strung out or stealing diapers was one of the things he stole to sell for drug money, anything he would steal from all of us, et cetera.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And I understand, and from this perspective, not from struggling with it myself, but being as close to it as that, how fucking hard that is and how hopeless you can feel when you do relapse, because that's what my brother would say too, that it was just like everyone was more demoralizing than the last, and then they just kind of accumulate to the point where there's just no hope left, and that's when you completely succumb to it. And I think that's where he got a place in his life where he just accepted that addiction was just part of who he was, his DNA, and it took his life in the end. And so that you said, you know what, I'm just going to take this one day at a time. I'm going to string these days together. This is bigger than me. This is about my kids. I can do this, and did it. And it's obviously still a daily practice. It's going to have to be right forever, I'm sure. And like you said, you keep those memories right there. But you telling that story, and again, fuck off trolls, because this is for real. You telling that story, if it touches one other person, one dad out there, one mom, one brother, one sister, one human being who's like, hold on, actually, yes, I relapsed, I made a mistake, I fell down, this is not the end for me, he made it out, I can do it too. And you didn't just make it out, you kept moving one day at a time up this chain from that very low, I assume, basement of your life, right?
Oh, yeah.
to where you are now, which is still building. And it's this huge success story. I mean, well over how many followers do you have? Just all the platforms combined. I mean, millions, right?
I would say just 1.2. Like my Facebook is it's a graveyard.
Oh, really?
It's covered with cobwebs. And
well,
in my Instagram too. I don't know.
Yeah, you're on Threads now.
So, Threads, I'm there too. Yeah,
and YouTube, obviously. But like, okay, so just getting back, I was definitely gonna focus heavily on Trump, which we have, you know, huge news to talk about. But this has actually been so much more interesting to me because I think this is such a human conversation that I would never probably have had with you until this opportunity, and I didn't even see it coming. But that's what he said or she said. But still, that we are having it because that's the thing. Like you keep growing, but you're not just using your voice and platform to just spew and rant into the void. You know, you're keenly aware of the responsibility in a way, or the opportunity even that comes with the platform you have.
Yeah, yeah. At the end of the day, you know, I'm a dad. And I wear my dad label proudly. I mean, that's first and foremost the most important thing to me right now, you know, is that I was able to turn it around. I helped put them to college. I was at all three of their graduations. I was there.
Oh, good. I mean, I'm going to cry.
My youngest son is a scientist. I win.
Well, I didn't have crying on this podcast on my bingo card.
Nor did I.
How about that? But look at you, right?
Look at me. Hey, are you effing kidding me?
My son's the scientist.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, right, like, you don't even... It's those small things too. My son pouring a soda, crying, or podcast. It's those small things too that like you don't even think about. And then sometimes the smallest things, like that, like just, I don't know, how was your day when they come home from school? Or like, can you pick up your backpack for the love of God? This is like 14 years. But those things, don't take that like to mean you can keep leaving your backpack. No. but like those things, you don't even, it's those things that you would have missed. Right? Like the big, the small, medium sized, the challenges, the triumphs, like, you know, you didn't miss them. You were there. That dad brain kicked in and it took over. Thank God. It saved your life.
Indeed. Indeed.
Yeah. And now you get to cry with me.
I also want to say therapy, I think, might have been the one missing for me. Yeah. I don't know about anybody else, but it was like the one missing variable that I didn't have in all those other previous attempts. Like I was in Phoenix House for 29 months from the time I was 17 until I was like almost 20, 2.5 years I was there. Wow. And I graduated the program. They have like a whole graduation ceremony and I relapsed from that. And the first time I was there was for weed. That's for weed. I was a behavior problem. I wouldn't go to school, you know. So that was, I guess, primarily why my mom was like, you take your ass into the Phoenix House, and you know. And so I got my high school diploma there and, you know, finished school, and I was able to focus and get my brain ripe, so I thought. Mm-hmm. But I had heard so many stories. I had never tried the crack before going into that program. So I was just developed a curiosity about it, and that was what led me.
How about that?
Yeah, and I thought I was too smart.
Yeah,
I thought I had too much up here to become addicted to that stuff, and not realizing that it has nothing to do with your brain. It's just a chemical that
it doesn't give a shit how smart you are.
It will mess you up, bro.
Yeah. You know, no one is smart enough to outsmart that. No one. But I will say that you're obviously, it's not just your intelligence, but clearly your perseverance and your strength of spirit. But like to defeat it, to beat it back, that's where you're like, okay, yeah, actually, I did kind of outsmart you. You know what I mean? Because you had the therapy component. is massive. And I will also speak to the therapy in terms of I will advocate for that every single day of your life, of my life, because I do believe what you did, what I try to do all the time, is you can reshape your brain. You can reshape the way your brain processes information, or the way that your brain relates to things that are like enticing or interesting or dangerous, or those things that you know will take you down dark paths. But it's people don't really believe that. And I think that that's so important. And I know it sounds like one of those like kumbaya, like I need to bang a bowl or something. I don't even know what they do, but like, it's for real. I think you can reshape and rewire the way your brain processes information, but it's work. It's not like instantaneous. You have to stick with it, and you have to believe in why and what you're doing.
I would also say that the 12-step programs of both NA and AA help me over the early year humps. I mean, mm-hmm. I would say in the first 3 to 5 years, like I was making a meeting. In the first 3 years, I was going to at least one meeting per day, if not two. Wow. And then it tapered off. I would start going like once per week, you know. And it's helpful because, you know, you're there with other recovering addicts who can kind of identify with what you're going through. And in your early years, you're just, all you're talking about is the extreme trauma that you went through and the horrible things you experience and stuff like that. And as time goes on, you're just like, man, I fucking hate my job and my boss is an asshole. And, you know, and you start just relating about regular day-to-day life things. And all these things I went through and I had problems with my ex and blah, blah, blah. But at least I didn't pick up a drug or a drink today.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but again, those shared stories, we talk about that a lot, you know, in terms of spreading messages politically, but like in terms of using the power of the story to make someone else feel seen and not alone and not like they're walking through any of it by themselves. I think it's one of the greatest tools we have as human beings, truly, in all things, but like particularly as it relates to these kinds of things, to addiction and to struggle.
Indeed, indeed. Welcome, by the way, folks, to this is Recovery Talk starring Bill Joe and BDD.
Well, I'm going to tune into that podcast because they're going to make fun of Trump the entire time. It's going to be great. And then they're like, why am I crying? I'm going to call my mom. What happened?
Are you effing kidding me?
Actually, this is kind of interesting because I never saw the side of these people before, because all they ever do is talk about Trump. Maybe they're human beings after all. Who knows? You know,
I actually do see comments like that every once in a while. Yeah.
Me too. And it's like, no fucking shit. You know I was a goddamn human being? Of course, you know I was a goddamn human being. You're in your basement making a fat meme of me. God damn it. I mean, well, with that, so that your beautiful segue. The strange thing is, because we got to go in 9 minutes, I'm going to make the weirdest segue to my random question round, which is skipping right over Trump. But we know what we'll just say. Today, Trump, can you do me one favor? Can you just tell me what Trump might have said when he learned that the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled unanimously he is not, in fact, immune from everything? Like, what would Trump's response have been in Trump?
He immediately grabbed the bottle of ketchup closest to him and threw it, smashed it against the wall into tiny pieces, and he let out a large fuck.
Leave him totally immune from killing everybody I want to kill.
It's a witch hunt. I'm telling you, it's a witch hunt.
And I don't think the Supreme Court's going to even hear this one because they're like, no, we're good. We got that other case they're probably going to want to hang us for. So let's just probably not hear this one. We'll see. But like, they believe that he was going to be the like, you can shoot someone. You can murder someone. But as long as you don't get convicted in the Senate, you're good.
Look, at this stage, all he's trying to do right now is delay. That's it. Because he doesn't have any defense to speak of. Imagine spending $50 million only to have to fork over 83.
And another potential 370. Another three.
Oh, man, come on. Bring it. Bring it.
I mean, right? And then there's the one case with the New York Times reporter.
I don't know that one.
He actually tried to sue them, and then they countersued back for their legal fees because the case was either dismissed or settled or whatever. So they sued him back for their legal fees, and they got them. So that's $1 million. Yeah. So it just keeps so much winning. I'm sick of it. But yeah, I mean, everybody knows we talk about Trump all day. If you want to see us talking about Trump, because we didn't in this podcast that much, go check out our feeds on social media. You'll find plenty. But that definitely brings me to the totally random rapid fire question round. Are you ready, BDD?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number one, this is written by my son, who, as I said many times, is homesick. This is, my kids seem to be homesick a lot when I record podcasts, which is weird. I'm not keeping them home, I swear to God. You get to spend an entire day with any celebrity alive or dead. Who is it and why?
Prince. Yeah. I mean, it is one of my greatest regrets never to have seen him live in concert. And first of all, he's an amazing performer, yeah. An amazing musician. He played so many instruments, right? But also, the stories I heard about him was that he was just a real chill dude. He was very cool. Like, he would make you pancakes and shit. And then he would go, while you eat, he would jam for you, you know.
Oh, my God.
Sing When Doves Cry while you're pouring syrup on your pancakes. That's just amazing. So I would absolutely.
I love that. Yeah. I think I can chill with Lincoln for a day. Like, just kind of, you know, how you doing? How you doing, Abraham? You know,
I heard he was very funny. I heard he had a great sense of humor.
Really? I didn't know that. Huh. Let's see. Now, that would be good. I would like to tell him what's happening in 2024 and then just get his take on it as funny as possible. Okay. Two, aliens come to Earth and they ask us to show them our leader, some one representative for the entire planet. Who are you picking and why?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say President Obama. Yeah. Yeah. Almost for the same reason. I mean, you know, President Obama is a very chill and intelligent dude. I think he's got the right vibe. I don't think he would make the aliens feel threatened. I think he has enough emotional IQ to know how to interact with these aliens. If we have aliens that travel, you know, millions of light years, and they actually land here and want to interact with us, you better send the least threatening person you possibly can to meet with them, I think.
And now that Betty White's gone, right? Yeah, that is true, though. I mean, but you never know. Joe Biden might have actually been able to facilitate sending them here, because it might have been like a 10-year plan back when he was hatching the ascension of a pop star and a tight end and rigging the entire NFL season and rigging an election and an insurrection. All of that while coordinating four separate criminal indictments and 91 charges. I mean, maybe he could also, because he can't hide, choose his name, but I think he could be behind an alien invasion.
Yeah, he is... an old doddering man, but also a mastermind of 20 complex conspiracies. Yes. That's
amazing. But yeah, at the end of the day, he answers to Obama, so then that tracks. oh my God. Okay, last one. Oh, this one. If you had to have dinner and drinks with either drinks like as in soda or like a, you know, ginger ale like I'm having. That is, I swear to God, ginger ale. With either Lauren Boebert or Marjorie Taylor Greene, who do you pick? Gotta pick one.
Yeah. Oh, that's horrible. Horrible. I'd rather die of thirst. Damn, that is a Sophie's choice. Let's see.
Big Colbert.
No. I'm gonna say MGT because Marjorie Taylor Greene. Yeah, Boebert just.
Well, you know, you might get third base.
I don't want that. I don't want it.
Right, that's true. That's a valid point.
I mean, I feel like if you'd be in the same room, just breathing the same air as her, you have a good chance of catching syphilis from her.
Oh my God.
Like, especially he's got that special airborne syphilis.
Airborne syphilis. Yeah. Well, but then you got Marge. Like, Marge, I just don't think I could just look at her.
I see. At least with Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think there would be a good chance that I might laugh my ass off. You know, with the absurd things that she has said and that she has the potential to say whenever she opens her mouth.
Just have her read the menu. But
I'd like this thing. Does this thing come with a peach tree dish?
What's sous vide? Is this chicken here sous vide? Why did they what's sous vide mean? Indictments. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. The bar, the threshold for being a member of Congress is not being able to read the word indictment. You have to be able to, indictment.
Why?
Look, she got dicks on the brain. I don't know that. Okay. That's what I'm saying about love.
You know, I wonder sometimes if it's an act. You know, if the stupid thing is an act. Like, I used to wonder that about Trump. And I don't wonder about Trump anymore. Now I just think he really is stupid. But people were saying that he was doing that to endear himself to his poorly educated followers. And so I remember when President Obama was in office. It's not like he was, using SAT words, you know, but he just was very articulate, and going from to President Obama was a major upgrade, and so maybe people think this highfalutin man, I can't believe we elected this guy just to make us feel stupid. And so they went and elected Donald Trump to make them feel smart again.
Yeah. They're like, listen, you think I'm done because I read on a third grade reading level? Well, that guy talking about putting disinfectants in his body. Okay. So I ain't that dumb. I feel pretty smart right now. I mean, my prospects are bad, but I could be worse. I could be president. I'm smart like that. PDD, you have your own podcast, obviously, which is Storytime with PDD.
Yes. And find that on your YouTube near you.
That's awesome. It's a very, very, very fun live, which is podcast. I have had so much fun on it. And they, of course, can find you, like you said, on Twitter, which is what I still call it.
On the Twitter at M.M. Padellan, P-A-D-E-L-L-A-N.
And you are one of the biggest accounts, the left-leaning accounts out there in the political space, and you make a difference with your voice. And again, sharing that story that we shared on this podcast, which was unexpected and not at all intended or planned, I really do believe that that is one of the gifts that you give to the universe. And I think that that it is incredibly powerful and benevolent of you to be sharing that story so that somebody else maybe was in your spot now, or you were before, I mean, can feel not so alone, not so hopeless. So thank you for that.
Thank you. That's what it's all about. There's a saying that goes, each one teach one in order to reach one. And there's a whole lot of ones like that. But yeah, it's basically, if you help others, you also help yourself.
I really do. And I believe in paying it forward as much as humanly possible too. So I appreciate you as always. And I'm sorry I took you down this. I didn't mean to get all emotional Oprah on us, but that's how we roll sometimes. So, and it's important. It's part of who you are too. So that maybe, people can see the more human side of the people that they troll all the time.
Indeed. And I want to thank you for having me on the show and letting me share that stuff. I hope someone in your audience takes something away from that, and it helps set them on the right path.
Me too. And that's how we change the world, right? One story at a time. And being vulnerable is powerful. Thank you, Brooklyn Dad Defiant. Everybody else, thank you so much for listening or watching, and have a great week. See you next time.
Are You Effing Kidding Me? Is a production of the Political Voices Network. Please visit us at politicalvoicesnetwork.com.